Rainey sighed. I don't know, she said. Maybe we're making this too complicated. On the one hand, some things don't make sense about the shooting. On the other hand, what shooting makes sense? And who else could have done it? All the students present that day were in class when the shots were fired, so they're accounted for. The only two students with time lapses are Danny and Becky, and neither choice is appealing. Maybe in the end, it's just too hard to believe a child did it. So I focus on the question because it's easier than the answer. It's good to focus on questions, Quincy said. It's your job. Well, it's not a good job today, Agent. Maybe tomorrow it will be, but I'm not particularly enjoying it today. She headed for the side doors, obviously disturbed again. Quincy wasn't surprised when she stopped by the broken windows and gazed out on the rolling green hills and afternoon sun. Recharge, he thought. Sometimes he had to do that himself. He bent down and inspected the shooting area more closely. He noted the way the bodies had laid and tried to picture in what direction they'd fallen. Then he explored the door frame around Melissa Avalon's computer lab for telltale holes. 10 minutes later, he was done making notes. Now he had many questions for the medical examiner. He turned back to Rainey, who was still standing by the broken doors. She was no longer looking outside, however, but staring at the outline of Melissa Avalon's body. Her gray eyes were impossible to read, her features stilled. Quincy wondered how few hours of sleep Rainey Connor had gotten last night. And for just one moment, he was tempted to ask her. To step over the line and into her space. Because once upon a time he'd been the inexperienced agent with a homicide, and he understood how some images stayed in your head long after you turned out the lights. Some nights, he did wake up screaming. But that was neither here nor there. He said, I'm done now. Rainey led him from the building.
This ends Disc 3.